coming up.
Tell me, are you familiar with foot fetish?
Well, yes, I am.
Do you have a foot fetish?
No, sir.
No. You just studied it?
Yes.
Okay, good. But have you ever seen like any patient that's come in with a foot fetish? Or, like...
No, but we do get some online requests that are questionable.
Oh, really?
We do, yes.
Like they like send me a picture of feet?
Like feet. All, yes. A lot of educational videos about how to treat certain things. And from that, they get, oh, yeah, please can we have, I would like to know more. How much is it?
Hello and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Six South African male medical doctors on a mission to change the way in which we perceive healthcare. Today we're talking about feet and people who wear shoes and people who don't wear shoes. We've got two very interesting guests. Join with me in the studio is a podiatrist who goes by the name of Nikita Sahadio. And we have someone joining us from afar. I don't know where exactly he is, but I would assume he's at his home. His name is Graham Wells. He ran the entire Comrades barefoot. And we're going to start chatting to him first. All of us are going to ask him questions because we all want to know why on earth would anyone run that many kilometers with no shoes. Graham, can you tell us why?
Hi there, Dr. Sahel. It all started a number of years ago when I am fortunate to be able to do endurance sports, but didn't want to do it for myself and to make a difference. So the barefoot thing arose as there's normally about 20,000 entrants into Comrades and they're about that sort of number of starters running with shoes. So I thought, what could I do that was different? And barefoot was what came up. So, that's how it was started. The word is spreading and things like that. And obviously I do it to raise money for a good cause, a great cause. So, and every year I promise myself never again, but then the following year I'm back at the start line again. So it's just something that I've become passionate about and will continue doing while I can.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about the initiative and what you are raising funds for.
So initially it started off, I've got a passion for the homeless. I currently live in the UK, but I used to live in the UK a number of years ago, working with the homeless. So we initially started raising money to start a shelter for, in Pietermaritzburg, because there isn't any provision currently. That sort of project drew to a close, because the building is sort of, near readiness to open. So the next step was then obviously to start or develop a feeding scheme. So this year, it was obviously to expand the existing feeding scheme that's being provided there. It's very, very small. So that's what I've been passionate about and what this year's cause is about is actually, raising money to feed, homeless, people.
And Graham, how is your feet after and during the race?
To be perfectly honest, not the best. I think the problem is that every year I say never again. So and it does take a little bit of practice in terms of trying to toughen your feet and wear and tear. The problem is that, as I said, I generally say never again. And then, I sort of leave it of months of running with, I run with barefoot running shoes because it's really difficult to actually run in normal shoes because of the heel toe drop. I find it very, my feet afterwards are normally quite sore, so the next few days are a little bit of a challenge. I can't walk without shoes. I know a lot of people say, well, how do you manage to put shoes on? But I think with that extra little bit of protection underneath, it's sort of vitally important. But, like I say, it heals. It's worthy cause, so I'll keep on doing it. And fortunately, this year was one of the first times I've never said I'm not doing it again. So, at this stage, it's probably going to be back at the start line again next year, but I just need to prepare better so that it's a lot easier, I think.
Wait, so I keep hearing you say, never again. I keep telling myself, how many comrades have you done, and were all of them barefoot?
So, no, I've completed 8 comrades. I've done 5 barefoot. So there's a couple that I haven't completed. By doing silly things and running barefoot, sometimes, it does bring a whole different dynamic to the day. I've done 5 barefoot successfully. So it is sort of what I enjoy doing, even though on the day it's not very enjoyable, if that makes sense. But it's for a good cause, so it's worth it.
Yeah. Nikita, any questions for Graham?
Graham, you said that you'll never do it again, but if there's anything that will inspire someone to run barefoot for 90 kilometers, I reckon it's the comrade spirit. So did you just start running barefoot, or did you work up into it slowly? How would someone start?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah, I'm not a doctor or a podiatrist or anything, so I'm not sure if it's really, I suppose, like anything. I mean, I did get plantar fasciitis previously, and I originally thought it was from running barefoot, but then I was told it wasn't. So, I mean, that's obviously, plantar fasciitis can happen to anyone, any runner. I think just gradually, to be perfectly honest, I think since running barefoot, I've had far less injuries than had I been running with shoes, because I think we actually are naturally born to run with no shoes if we go back to prehistoric. I do think, but it does require a little bit more discipline to obviously build the toughness in the feet. A lot of times, it does require a lot of clenching of the teeth because it's not easy to get started. But I do feel that, if you can toughen the feet and whatever, it does help. And like I said, I mean, I've had very, very few injuries over the last number of years. I think the only real injury, I'm not going to consider the plantar fasciitis an injury because that's just a wear and tear. But the only injury I've had in the last 5, 6, 7 years is when I was running a particular training marathon, I stood on a stone. And because of the pain of the stone, I was sort of running, protecting my heel, and I obviously strained my Achilles tendon, but that's because I wasn't running naturally. So I do think there's method in my madness. It might not be for everyone, but it works for me. And like I said, it's all about making a difference and inspiring others.
And Nikita, I wanted to ask, what is plantar fasciitis?
So there is a big ligament under your foot, and that's called your plantar fascia. And itis basically means inflammation, so it's the inflammation of that ligament. It does commonly happen to runners, but like Graham says, it's not always related to barefoot walking. Everyone has different biomechanics. And if you strengthen your foot, like it sounds like he did, it should be no problem.
Yeah. You can even get these, like, we actually see it a lot in, like, domestic workers, people who stand a lot. Yeah. People who walk a lot, those kind of things. Sometimes usually, like how would you manage it?
Well, some intrinsic foot exercises would be great. You want to make sure that in the case of someone who's working on their feet, like a domestic worker or a police officer, we see it a lot with the teachers, anyone who's standing for a long period of time and has to absorb a lot of ground reaction force, you want to have maybe a barefoot shoe, depending on their biomechanics, but either way, it has to be a cushioned shoe. Something with some cushion and some support around the ankle. There are other options. People use anti-inflammatories, cold sprays, lasers, all depending on what your particular case is like.
Hmm. It's also been a big movement on going barefoot. So there's now like barefoot shoes. So the idea is that the Nikes and these, let me not mention brands, right? But like a lot of modern day shoes are like very narrow, and their toe box is actually very narrow. So people are now bringing these barefoot shoes where it's like wider toe box, and your feet can spread out, and your feet actually change. Like, like if they get really squished in, your feet will start to crinkle up into itself. So it's actually better to get these barefoot things. Would you say it's an advantage to run barefoot versus?
I wouldn't go so far as to say it's an advantage. It can certainly be done, but it's not for everybody. And there must be a little bit of caution applied. Running barefoot means you would be exposed to the elements, especially something like the Comrades. That's an amazing feat because you're running on tar. Usually we would advise people to run on a soft surface, you know, like soft trail or grass to limit lacerations or chilblains, that sort of thing.
I'm sure, like, over time, you develop, like, a callus, right?
You do.
So I'm sure that Graham's feet are harder than the concrete.
Yeah. So, Graham, you weigh in, because we've heard from the experts here about whether it's better to run on your feet rather than running with shoes. But you have the actual practical knowledge, because you said you've run Comrades with shoes and shoeless.
That's correct, yes. Yeah, I mean, I definitely advocate for it, but as Dr. Nikita says, it's not for everyone. I mean, it's just what I choose to do. It makes, I do it for charity. I would definitely say it is better than running with shoes because I think we pay for all these fancy shoes that aren't naturally how we're meant to run. I think the barefoot running shoes are a good adjustment if it's something that you do want to do and you struggle with injuries and you can't find shoes that are appropriate to your running style or having foot injuries. I think the barefoot running shoes are a good option. It also does go down to your ankle support, your knee support, the jolting. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a specialist, so I can't sit here telling everyone, please go and do it. It's so much healthier and things like that. I enjoy it. It works for me. If someone is struggling with it, maybe try it. But maybe not completely barefoot, but get the barefoot running shoes and take it from there. Because I think even just an adjustment to the barefoot shoes does take a little bit of time, because I think your calves and joints do take a little bit more wear and tear and friction. I don't know if that's the right word. But, to anyone that is struggling with feet problems or running injuries, if it's a last resort, even if you want to try it, I would strongly recommend do it. There's no harm in trying.
Last question I have for you, Graham. What's the worst injury that you've sustained barefoot running?
I think having a stone a lot of the time you've got to be very vigilant. You've got to be very careful of stones, especially the small little stones that can actually pierce your feet. A lot of times, because bearing in mind, you can't just turn up to Comrades and run barefoot. So I think a lot of the time when training, especially where there's broken glass and things like that, it's always hop, skipping and jumping, probably look like a bit of a comedy show to passers-by. I think one of the things that makes me chuckle once in Comrades, I think it was 2023, I was running and sort of around, there was a down run in Pine Town. I stood on a small stone that actually went into my foot slightly. And I think a spectator thought I had got cramp. So when he came, he said, can I help you? I turned my foot upside down and he saw the stone that had started to bleed. And I think he just turned around and walked away. So I think, it's just, I haven't had any severe, like massive gashes or anything like that. It's just the general, I mean, Comrades is generally okay. You do get stuff from wear and tear and a lot of inflammation and few little cracks and things like that. But I think it's more the glass, bits of glass and things that you always need to be so vigilant about. But on Comrades Day, it's not as bad because you're running in the middle of the road. It's generally a lot cleaner than when you're training on the pavement, etc., etc. So, Yeah, like I say, it all just comes with a bit of extra training. But yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to try it, by all means, it will make a huge difference, especially if you're struggling with injuries and things like that. I would recommend it.
100%. Just before we let you go, tell us, how can we support your initiative and your organization?
No, well, I really appreciate it. Like I said, I don't do this for my own thing. I mean, and at the end of the day, it's a team effort. So I'm very, very grateful to anyone that can help, or no matter how big or small the donation. So I have a Backer Buddy page, which I think there's a page set up under Run for Roof 2025. So if people go into Backer Buddy and they search Run for Roof 2025, they'll find the page there with a summary of what it's, what we're raising money for, and things like that. So I'd be very, very grateful if people could log on to the page, and any donations will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Graham. And we definitely will be supporting you, and hope to see you running again next year for the comrades. Okay.
Definitely. Now, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Pleasure having you, Graham. Pleasure. Take care.
Okay, you too.
We are going to focus on Nikita, and we're going to ask her a lot about feet. This was just a mild intro into feet. Nikita, before we get into the serious interviewee stuff, we always like to share like an interesting case that we had for the week or for the month or for the year, something that's very interesting that we think our viewers would find also interesting. Do you have an interesting feet story to tell us?
I do. Actually, every time a patient comes into the practice, they show me their feet and they go, "I'm so sorry, this is probably the worst that you've ever seen." And it is definitely not the worst I've ever seen.
Okay.
My worst was... my very first case, I was going in for our internship, you know, going into the hospital.
Wait, so your very first case of life was your worst case?
Worst ever, yeah.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. So I was so chuffed. I had my lab coat ironed the morning before. I walked into the hospital. Nobody's going to need wheelchairs. I'm going to fix everything.
Okay.
And then I walk in, and it's immediately so humbling. You have people that are coughing next to people that have gunshot wounds, and... Uh-huh. There's a guy with a cast and it's dripping. Anyway, I walk through the hospital. I find my way to where I'm supposed to be. And I'm like, back down to earth. And I'm like, no, I'll just observe today. You know, it's just my first day. And the nurse hands me the file and she says, "Your first patient, he's waiting for you." And I open the curtain and it's the guy with the cast.
Okay.
And I check the cast out. It's all swollen. Almost looks like a crusty roll situation. We open it up, and there are maggots.
Oh.
Yeah. Lots of maggots.
Just maggots, the whole
foot. No, like in the foot. In the foot, moving between the layers of skin.
Oof.
So after that, everything was pretty much a piece of cake.
Jeez, just maggots. Yeah. Like maggots. Nothing else. What color was the foot already like?
There was some yellow, sloughy stuff going on there. But the maggots is really what caught my eye.
So what did you do? Did you vomit?
No. No, I did not.
Because I've heard of people vomiting on their first time.
Yeah.
So you didn't vomit, you managed that foot?
Oh no, of course. My supervisor helped out and took over, it's my...
You dunked the foot in something.
Well, you got to debride it and clean it and, wound care.
So you were fine after that. How did he have that? What happened to him?
That's a classic case of a diabetic patient.
Okay, diabetic foot. Okay. Yep. Sounds like a lot of the stuff that we do see.
Yeah.
But not as many maggots.
Oh, okay.
Not as many maggots. Mm. Nassim, anything you want to add to this?
Diabetic foot. We need to go over it. Like, I think, so let's explore like the diabetes part of it. So patients get like this peripheral neuropathy, right?
Yeah.
So they get... reduce sensation in their feet. So anything that they can't like, they won't notice that they cut their leg.
Yeah.
It'll be like literally swelling, septic, and they won't even notice it. Right?
Yeah.
So what's going
on? I once had a guy who came in with a nail in his foot. He didn't even know. Full on nail. And then I think the day before that, he was changing his shoes and he looked and he was like, "Oh, that looks abnormal."
Yeah.
And then was like, "Okay, maybe I need to go to see a doctor." So that's how bad it can get.
Absolutely.
Mm. And in your experience?
We've had something like that. I once had a gentleman whose grandson's little Hot Wheels toy car was in his shoe because the kid was playing around. And then he must have worn it for a couple of days. But by the time he got to us, the only reason he came was because he noticed blood on the floor, like you're saying. You know, the guy probably just noticed something was wrong. And, well, I had to take out the little car from inside of his foot.
The car was in his foot.
Yeah, the little car, but it was inside.
Like embedded in his foot.
Embedded in his foot.
Yo. Yeah. Hectic. Yeah, so it can get bad.
Yeah.
Very, very bad. And also that together with, together with the poor wound healing.
Yeah.
Is what causes the.
Yeah, so, the so peripheral vascular thing. Disease. Yeah.
So you get reduced blood supply, right? Mm-hmm. So you get peripheral artery disease, right? You also get reduced immune system gets weaker, right? So your immunity is reduced. Then you even get like that peripheral neuropathy is the main part. So you get like damage, you don't feel it, you let it get worse. So no blood supply, no weak immune system, you don't feel it, you ignore it, gets worse.
Yeah. And a lot of the time you have to think about the other comorbidities that lie with diabetes. Of course, with peripheral neuropathy and peripheral vascular disease, you're going to get eye issues. So maybe the patient doesn't even see that it's swollen. And now they don't see and they don't feel.
Yeah, so I mean, that's something that we commonly see because of the huge burden that diabetes puts on our healthcare system.
It does.
From vascular diseases to primary healthcare to everything. Sister Bettina is asking us, why don't they feel? So do you want to explain maybe like the pathophysiology behind why don't diabetic patients feel their feet?
So they have something called peripheral neuropathy, which is basically, if you want to think of it as, just oversimplify it, the little tiny nerves that are in the feet are very easily damaged because of the high blood glucose that surrounds them.
Mm. And that's, yeah, pretty much. So they damage blood vessels, they damage nerves, and that altogether basically causes this havoc of easy to get wounded and difficult to heal.
Yeah.
So, but let's go through some other common like foot issues that we see, like foot infections. Right. Because I mean, I work in the emergency department. He works in primary healthcare. So you may see, what do you commonly see?
Usually fungus stuff. Athlete's foot is the next most common.
It's common.
Yeah.
So this is the thing I hate. You know, when I see guys walk in the gym barefoot, I say, what are you doing? You're going to give yourself plantar warts. You're going to give yourself athlete's foot. And you're just like, please. So can you tell us how can we prevent athlete's foot and how do you manage it?
Yeah, athlete's foot is it's a sticky one because you're right. Everyone goes into gym showers and walk on the gym floor. But we also don't think about things like holidays. You know, sometimes you chill, you're on a holiday, you don't remember your flip-flops in the shower. That can be a problem. Yeah. But there are some practical ways that you can prevent it. So number one, always carry your flip-flops. Number two, sun exposure is wonderful for footwear. So inside your shoes, generally your closed shoes, the environment is warm, it's moist. So you want to expose that to sun to reduce the fungal load. You can also do something like drying between your toes.
Yeah.
That'll help to reduce the moisture between in your feet.
Yeah, so like athletes would usually see it in those guys who wear boots. So yeah. In between the web space, they're working all day, sweating. That is a perfect environment for fungus to grow.
Mm.
So then the other one would be like, so you mentioned that going on holiday.
Yeah.
So Suhail, if you have plantar warts, you shower in that shower.
Mm.
If that shower doesn't get clean, if I go in that same shower, I don't see you, right? You were just there. You stood there. I can get the same plantar warts on me.
Mm. And but what exactly are plantar warts?
So it's an HPV, right? So it's a virus, basically. So it can stay on surfaces. And if you touch it, right? Or if you like, you even get it by kissing. You know, like these cold sores. If I kiss
you, I have to kiss someone's feet.
No. It's an another example of getting those. It's like the same virus, basically.
Yeah.
So if you can contact that virus with like by touching a surface, not even by direct contact, you can get it. That's Damn. How crazy it is. So you should be wearing flip flops in the shower when you go on holiday.
I remember that now.
In the gym.
I've been lucky enough not to get it thus far.
And with athlete's foot, also like sweat. So if there's like a sweaty area, you can get it by just by sitting, by like walking over it.
Like the steam room.
Steam room.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't like steam rooms. I like sauna, but I won't go to a steam room. That just looks dangerous. Yeah. Looks like every germ is floating around there.
Yeah.
Any other tips?
For athlete's feet, there are products that you can buy over the counter that you can use to.
But hold on. Sorry, before you continue. Is athletes, I mean, I know we call it athlete's foot, but clearly it's not just for athletes.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But, oh, our producers want to know what is athlete's foot. So, Nikita, can you tell us what athlete's foot is?
It's a microorganism. Well, like you said, athlete's foot is just like a general term people use because athletes are more predisposed to it because of the conditions that their feet are under. But it is foot fungus, and a fungus is like a microorganism, a little tiny mushroom in another form that grows on your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, also, I suppose if you are diabetic or have any immunosuppressive disease, you could be more prone to even getting a fungal foot infection.
100%.
Than anyone else. I think once I had found athlete's foot and it was horrible.
It's very cool.
Like your feet itch. Yeah. But I had it on the top of my foot. Like, where do you normally get it?
Mostly it originates, like you said, between the toes, but you can often get it at places of friction when it comes from your shoes, when the fungus is lying dormant, but most often between the toes.
Because I actually got it like on the dorsal, I didn't get it on the plantar aspect of my foot, which was weird. Like it was, okay, if you think of here's the web space between my first two toes, it was somewhere here. But it had that like shape, you know, sometimes you get like weird.
Like a ringworm.
Like a ring. Or was it a ringworm? Yeah. But how did I get a ringworm on my
feet?
They're
fungals. Both, yeah. That's also a fungus.
Yeah, but how would I get that on my foot? On the top of my foot? I don't know. Look, I think I went for like, it was like a camp.
Yeah.
You know, back in school, you go for like these camps. And I don't think I changed my socks for like 4 days.
That's it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right? Probably.
But you had fun.
But I had fun. And that's what counts. You know, I have a story to tell. And I've had athlete's foot probably. Yeah. So it's all good. But sorry, you were saying, how do we prevent it? How do we treat it?
Okay, so to prevent it, wear your shoes, expose your feet to sunlight, or dry between your toes. To treat it, there are over-the-counter things that you can get. Lamisil, terbinafine. Lots of people, well, I have read, and a lot of my patients use a mixture of Listerine mouthwash and vinegar in equal quantities. That's a tip. Half Listerine, half vinegar, and spray that on your feet. It can help.
Life hack.
Yeah, life
hack. Okay, nice. I'll remember that one next time I wear my...
So the other common thing I see is corns.
Yeah.
So if you imagine this like something hard, right? And when you step on it, it feels like you're stepping on a nail. Mm-hmm. That's how painful corns are. So like usually corns come from like pressure imbalance. If you're like having a high pressure in one place, you get these things developing. So what
also, if you're overweight, I've heard, like, because you're putting more pressure on that area, and then obviously over time it just grows.
Yeah. So corn is a response to the trauma cycle. So either putting extra pressure on it from weight or from abnormal pressure distribution, that friction causes the skin to freak out and go, oh my God, I need to make myself stronger to withstand this sort of force. And so it creates a nucleus of extra skin that is actually more dense and very painful.
Okay. And how do you treat that?
You have to remove it. Podiatrists remove it all the time.
Okay, how do you do that? Just cut it?
Surgically, yeah. Well, with debridement in the room.
Oh, okay.
It's generally painless.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Tell me, I'm sure that a lot of people come in with just generally smelly feet, like horribly smelling feet, with no other like problem, but just smelly feet in general. Or is that not a problem?
Not that I have seen. Usually there's a problem behind the smelly feet.
Oh, because our producers thought that definitely, like, we're sure that you must just see smelly feet all day.
No, not as much as you'd think. It's usually a fungus.
There's an actual reason behind the smell.
It's usually not just a fungus or a very poorly ventilated shoe, something like that.
Okay, but nobody's ever come to you and be like, Doc, I just got, my feet just stink all the time.
No, not yet.
All right, cool. What's the weirdest foot problem you've seen in your practice? Because we've heard about the disgusting and the like.
The cool maggots.
The maggots and
right.
all that. But what is the strangest. What's the strangest foot pathology you've ever seen walk through your doors?
So during COVID, I think it was just before lockdown, everybody was closing their doors. And you know when ladies have a pedicure, they have that thick acrylic polish on it.
Yeah.
And this lady's was kind of growing out, so it formed a little bit of a hump. And so she couldn't find a technician to remove it. She decided to do it herself and grabbed an angled plier. So with the angled plier, she grabbed the end of the nail polish, but as well...
The end of the nail polish.
So like, you know, it's got like a little bump at the end as it grows out. So she grabbed that end bit, but because it was an angled nail, plier, that angle went into the nail, through the nail and created a hole. And by the time she came to us, that hole had responded to the trauma with scar tissue. But because it was surrounding nail, it looked like a finger growing out of the nail.
So a finger through the toe.
A finger through the toe, kind of. And then as the nail was then growing, it was like amputating the finger.
Yo, that must have been horrific.
Yeah, it was interesting.
So that's the weirdest thing you've ever
Strangest seen. Thing, yes.
Yo. Have you ever seen any weird feet stuff? I haven't because, I mean, I work in the emergency. And if you're going to come to me with weird feet stuff in the middle of the night, I'm going to tell you, listen, this is not an emergency.
Go to Nassim.
Go to Nassim. Or now, go to Nikita.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bunions look weird.
Bunions? Yeah. How do you... Bunions are also pressure.
Yes. Biomechanics. And hereditary predispositions. But yes.
Okay, cool. Any other interesting foot pathologies that you see commonly that you think would benefit people to know more about or just general tips?
So of late, we've been seeing a lot of chilblains, which is pernio or, you know, vasculitis, where the toes get really white and then subsequently blue and then red, itchy, swelling. It can become very painful and sometimes they can
Is it because
burst.
Of the weather?
Yes. So we're seeing a lot of that now.
So, if I remember correctly, it's due to the vasoconstriction that's caused from, you know, cold.
The like, cold, yeah.
The cold. Like, similarly, you get in your hands, Raynaud's.
Mm-hmm.
So, similarly in the feet. When it gets cold, your body's natural response is to draw blood away from the peripheries of your body to the center to keep it warm. And certain people have a predisposition to over-vasoconstriction, where it's pathological. And so, you'll have... cut off of blood supply to the foot, and that's why you get the change in color and pain and all of those
issues.
Yeah,
correct.
But there's nothing really you can do to treat it?
Oh, there's loads you can do. You can do use like local heparin. We synthesize that in the lab for our patients, localized like a gel.
Okay, so just applying it as a topical formulation to the feet.
It helps, and now we're experimenting with diode lasers, which relax the muscles or the walls of the blood vessel so that it doesn't have such an exaggerated response to the cold.
I see. For those of you who don't know, heparin is an anticoagulant. So it basically thins the blood. So I'm assuming helps with the blood flow.
Blood flow, yeah.
Okay. Tell me, are you familiar with foot fetish?
Well, yes, I am.
Do you have a foot fetish?
No, sir.
No. You just studied it?
Yes.
Okay. But have you ever seen like any patient that's come in with a foot fetish? Or, like...
No, but we do get some online requests that are questionable.
Oh, really?
We do, yes.
Like they like send me a picture of feet?
Like feet, all, yes.
Just random anyone's feet or your feet?
Well, we haven't delved into the inquiry. We just politely turn them away. But yeah.
But they've just asked like, I want to see feet.
Yeah. And you know, we post a lot of educational videos about how to treat certain things. And from that, they get... Oh, yeah, please, can we have, I would like to know more. How much is it? We're like, how much is it?
How much is it to send me pictures of other people's feet?
Perhaps, yeah.
Hey, look, if they're offering, I'm keen. I don't mind.
We will keep Just your number on file.
Let me know. I'll, whatever they want, I'll send it to them.
No
For
problem.
Free.
For free. I'll give them my feet. No, if they're willing to pay, I want a slice of that pie. I'll send them my feet. Nothing wrong with that.
I hear it's lucrative.
Yeah, I've heard. I actually heard that there's some people who do OnlyFans. For those of you who don't know what OnlyFans is, what century are you living in? But they do OnlyFans and it's just of their feet.
Yeah.
Like just feet pictures. Nothing else. Can you imagine? Like people have bought whole houses, mansions, flying first class because of their feet.
But they must have aesthetic feet.
They must have super crazy feet. like insane feet.
Does plastic surgery exist? Like reconstructive aesthetics for feet?
For feet. I'm sure it would now. Do you know of any?
No. I mean, as a podiatrist, people do come with aesthetic concerns and we do address them with things like laser. But as I understand, there's no established foot aesthetics.
Yeah. I know a lot of guys who love feet.
Yeah?
You know them too, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I know a few guys that are like, yeah. I have to, on the first date, I have to see the girl's toes. So I know.
She's beautiful. She's nice.
She's beautiful, but nice. But those feet, though. I don't know. What do you think that is about?
So I've heard that there's a relation between the position of the appreciation for genitalia and feet, and they're very close in your brain. So there's some kind of like neural leakage that way.
Okay.
Yeah, I think...
The parts of your brain just get mixed up.
It would appear so.
Okay. All right.
Or, you know, childhood trauma or something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Because, I mean, look, for some people, it's like a big thing. Like, yeah. If this girl has bad toes, I can't. But what are the aesthetic concerns? Like, what are people wanting to change about their feet?
So we get a lot of, especially in corporate, people that are in high heels have dorsal cones, you know, on their toes because of the rubbing. And that usually results in hyperpigmentation or like a darker patch.
I see.
And they'd like to lighten that. But a lot of the time, some of those things are irreversible. We get structural issues like bunions. Nail fungus is a big one, and that one has a solution, at least.
Okay. All right, cool. Before we go to our reaction videos, one last question. Is it true what they say about the size of a man's feet? Does it have any correlation?
Not that I'm aware.
Good. Yeah. Okay, we've busted that myth. Thank you, guys. We appreciate that question. All right, now we're moving on swiftly to our reaction videos. Nikita, This is where they're going to play some video. I haven't seen it. Okay. He hasn't seen it. None of us. We don't know anything about these videos, right? They're going to play it. We're going to just give our most natural reaction to the video.
All right.
All right, let's go.
Go.
Is it all about feet? Can I just ask? Okay.
Okay. Lotus feet were considered beautiful and highly desirable, which is why foot binding was practiced in China for 1,000 years. This cruel practice involved tightly binding the feet of young girls. Fortunately, it was officially banned in 1912.
Ah, I've heard about this.
Yeah, me too. It looks painful, but from what I've read, because it's a slow process, it isn't painful. But I imagine it will affect your biomechanics.
Yes, it's like how do they walk? Because it looks like their toes all just went.
Yeah.
Went in.
That's like terrible.
That lady's foot looked like a samosa, like a bad, like a badly folded samosa. I'm sorry, I had to. Somebody had to say it. What did you think? What do you think?
You wanted to eat that foot.
Yeah. In another historical time, maybe. I don't know. But right now, no. Have you heard of this foot binding in China?
We saw it together, I think, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, how? Why? Who would think of, like, binding? Like, tiny feet are desirable. But not just tiny feet. They're also, like, because of the way they're bound, it's also made them, like, weirdly or oddly shaped.
Yes.
But you can argue that that's how normal shoes are. Normal shoes also have a small toe box, right?
Yeah, so that's right.
Yeah, you're also shrinking the same thing.
Okay, so like, are there any studies that you're aware of people who don't wear any form of like shoes? Do their feet naturally grow bigger or wider
out.
Or they spread out?
They look more like fingers.
That's right. Yeah. And they're very flexible and dexterous and
Seriously?
Yes. Although in our modern world with us moving into the workspace and concrete, that's not always practical. But yes, if it were.
So like the people that you have seen who are predominantly, let's say predominantly barefoot in their life, do they just not walk on hard surfaces or their jobs or their lifestyle or their environment just never required them to wear shoes?
Perhaps the latter of them. The environment just never required them to. Because at some point, if you're walking on gravel all the time, or certainly at social convention, you can't go into an office barefoot.
Okay.
You know, that sort of thing.
Got you. Okay. Anything else about this video? Oh, yeah. Does it affect, like, your balance? Would you say, like, binding your feet like that, would it affect your back? Because you said the biomechanics. What do you think, like, would be messed up with somebody who had lotus feet?
A lot of pressure on their knees. Maybe too much flexion on the lower back. I would definitely
because I assume they would walk a lot on their heels, would they not? Because their toes are all like...
Yeah. Maybe a lot of like... But the shoe like looked higher, though. Chips. The shoe looked like it was raised. So maybe it encourages more like metatarsal weight bearing.
Maybe.
But then won't
they be like quite weak because of the way it's bound? And
yes.
What do you think, Nas?
It's going to choose a center of gravity. You're going to find it. So it doesn't matter how small your feet are. You're going to find that balance and you're going to balance.
Yeah, but where do you think that balance lies?
In the center of the foot.
In the middle of the samosa.
Middle of the samosa.
Okay. All right, let's see the next video. Oddly satisfying.
Right? Yeah.
This is... Oof.
Even had snow at the bottom of that video.
Yeah, there's... What was that?
That was a bit of pitted keratoderma and an immunocompromised patient with hyperkeratosis. We actually do see that quite a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm assuming with the high rates of HIV and stuff, you probably see that quite a bit. So what exactly is all of what you've just mentioned?
So it is a bacterial infection.
Okay.
And if you have a compromised immune system, you're more likely to respond poorly. So you have an exaggerated effect. You'll see it's very white or like it's absorbed a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
And there are little specks of keratin because of the high pressure. And then the body's just trying to heal itself. So it has a whole lot of keratin over it. But like you said, it was oddly satisfying to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like they're getting relief. I'm assuming it's not that painful.
No, not normally.
Nas, anything? Add to the
yuck.
Just yuck.
Looks like
cold. And is that how you treat it?
Yeah.
Just by scraping?
Yeah. Well, that would be the first step. You scrape and then medication and obviously treat the systemic issues.
Any like topical application of like creams or?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. Yes, so that look dry? Oof.
It's actually wet when you touch it.
Oh, that's...
Ugh. Sorry, guys, but it is.
Sister Bettina wants to know, how does it get there?
How does it get there? Neglect, poverty.
Neglect and poverty.
Yes.
Ugh. Okay, next video, please. I'm hoping this is less disgusting. But at the same time, I'm also not. Like, okay.
There you go.
Wait, just play that again?
Yeah.
So I'ma love you every night like it's the last night. Like it's the last night. If the world was ending, I wanna be next to you. So first thing I wanna say is I now understand why they say you can't just trust the face.
No.
You got to take on a date where the shoes are going to be off. Because, wow, if I saw that, I would be like, wow. But she has like, she has the body of a 20-something-year-old, but the toes of like a 70-something.
That video, the picture you saw at the beginning was not her.
Yes, absolutely it was not her.
Huh?
No.
You think it's a lie?
Yes.
I think she lied about her toes.
Well, maybe the video was doctored to make it seem like...
No, okay, you know? I know that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But why would you do that?
To sell those bunion things, which do not work.
Oh, okay, they work.
They don't.
They don't work?
No, they can't correct a bunion. A bunion is an extra growth of bone. You can see from the photo that that's bone. That's an exostosis that can only be removed with surgery.
And you can't just pull the toe.
No.
You can't just pull the toe.
And I imagine that's painful.
Wow. Yo, people sell nonsense on TikTok, huh? Can't believe everything you see these days. I mean, with AI and now people just lie. She just brought a granny in. Can you imagine how confused the granny was?
Oh, shit.
Granny, I just need to take a video of your toes.
So what was she stitching with the machine?
I don't know. The bunion aligner.
No.
Clearly. It looked like a contraption where you put the toe, the big toe, and then you kind of just like turn it and it pulls the toe out.
She was making it.
So yeah.
She pretended like she was making that thing. But you could see the feet at the beginning at the end was not the same.
No.
Like there was no bunion in the last foot.
Already. Yeah, I felt like she put it on her actual foot then on the last video.
Yeah, yeah.
But before that, it was not her actual foot.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're all on the same page. Okay. Interesting. So do you find people that come with bunions, what's the weirdest things they've tried?
Lots of people do have tried the bunion splints. And it only helps relieve the pain if the tension is what is causing the pain, which is not most of the time. So we do see that.
Okay.
We do see people coming with that.
Okay. So the people that have tried those. And then the only way to cure it is by actually...
surgery.
Apparently, don't they like shave it down, shave the bone
They
down?
Do. They almost like they just chisel it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you fix the joint with all the internal fixtures and yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, before we let you go, I think a few questions before you leave. One that I'm interested in is why podiatry? Why would anyone want to focus on feet for the rest of their life? Tell us why.
It is actually really, really interesting. And I like being a safe distance away from my patients, which is great because there's like a whole person between us. Okay. And I love to chat to them. So while my hands are working, I can talk to my patients. And maybe 99% of the time, a patient will leave feeling better. You know, you remove a corn, you take care of an ingrown toenail.
And it avoids them from getting like a really invasive surgery potentially.
Yeah. So it's very rewarding for me. It's rewarding for the patient. It's very interesting. You hardly ever get called out on emergencies.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's a big
one.
That's a big one. Your quality of life is important. We only are finding that out now after many years of being doctors. Okay, for anyone at home that is watching this, that's like, you know, I really love feet.
Yeah.
And I would love to look at feet. No, okay, not that guy. That guy, you just email me. I'll send you the pictures. And I'll tell you my price. But for everyone else that genuinely has an interest in becoming a podiatrist and they want to start their journey, this is someone who's in matric, who's not sure about what they want to do with their life. Tell us your journey, your personal journey to becoming a podiatrist and then how they can do it.
There's only one university in the entire continent, in the whole of Africa, that you can study podiatry. Yeah, so...
What?
I know. It is UJ.
No, you're lying. I swear. The whole country.
In the whole continent.
Continent.
The whole continent. So everybody studies podiatry there. It's a very well-established course now, but I did my undergraduate there, and while I was practicing, I did my master's in medicine, and I'm just finishing my PhD now in diabetes research.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. So anyone that wants to, you know, you've only got one place to go to.
It would appear so.
One
University
place.
University of Johannesburg.
University of Johannesburg, yeah. Unless you want to go overseas, to another continent to study podiatry. And any specific subjects they need to focus on? Anything else that they need to do?
Just your normal sciences, math, yeah. Physics, biology. That's about it. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining us, Nikita. And where is your practice? Where are you currently practicing and where are you working?
I have a practice called PodMed, and we are in Melrose, Johannesburg.
Okay, great. So anyone that wants to find you, they can just search PodMed.
Yeah, and we're all over socials too.
Okay, great, great. So thank you so much once again.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
This was a very interesting conversation. I mean, we've never really focused on feet that much, but I'm sure people will probably pour in questions now and we'll have you back on again to answer all of these weird, wonderful and interesting questions. And maybe they'll request more pictures. Who knows?
Awesome. I'm going to send that guy to you though.
Yes. Okay. Send him my details. I'll send him my feet.
Perfect.
Thank you guys for joining us once again for another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. My name is Dr. Sohail Essa, signing off.
Dr. Naseem Sharif.
Nikita.
And we'll catch you next week. Cheers.